God's peace is always yours in Jesus. Hear the word of God from Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may abound? Absolutely not. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Dear friends in Christ, are you looking for more in your Christian life? Or are you frustrated by the fact that your Christian life falls far short when it comes to following the Lord? So, what should you do? One popular response we hear from a lot of churches is to ask God into your life. But what if he's already in your life and your Christian life still doesn't measure up? Then what? Because of sin, not everyone is in such an asking mood. Many are convinced that God would never set foot in the door of their messed up lives. Another response urges us to just give up on the quest altogether. Why bother living as Christians? Because God's word says, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. So why not sin freely and frequently and let God be more generous towards us with his grace? Are you serious? Paul tells us straight up, shall we go on sinning that grace may abound? And in the same breath, he answers with a resounding, absolutely not. That's like saying, let's commit more crimes so we can show how valuable the police are and how much we appreciate them. But you don't honor the police and you don't honor God's Son by committing more crimes. In fact, Hebrews 6 warns those who keep on sinning after they have received the knowledge of the truth, and remember, Jesus is the truth, no forgiveness of sins remaineth, but only a fearful expectation of judgment. For to their shame they are crucifying God's Son all over again. So is there an answer to the question, how can my life in Christ be all that God wants it to be? Yes, there is. But it's a radical answer. The answer is as radical as the death and resurrection of Jesus. One's life in Christ can never be in line with God's will until his or her sinful nature is put to death. Let me explain. No person becomes a stronger Christian until he or she comes to grips with the sin in his or her life. We must own up to it, and then something must be done about it. We need a plan for fighting the sin inside of us. We all share in Adam's sin. Psalm 51, in sin was I born, and in sin did my mother conceive me. God's word calls it inborn sin, the flesh, the old Adam. Paul says in Romans 7, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. And until that sinful nature is defeated in repentance, I'm dead, damned, and done for. And so are you. So unless you're actively fighting your sinful nature to kill it in repentance and to be raised to life in Christ, you may be more enslaved to your flesh than you realize. So what's the game plan? How can you and I conquer the old Adam? Can you escape your nature's guilt and power over your life by your own strength? Is the answer in trying harder? You've tried all those ways, and the years have taught you that by yourself you cannot conquer the sin that's in you. A more radical solution is called for, and Paul tells us what that radical solution is: death and resurrection. Occasionally I've heard the phrase, there's nothing wrong with this situation that a few funerals wouldn't fix. What prevents us from having that life Christ wants us to have could be resolved by a funeral of sorts. Yes, we need a death, funeral, and burial for our old sinful nature. And sad to say, because our sinful nature is going to be with us all the way to the grave, we sort of need a death, funeral, and burial of our sinful nature every day of our life. Our sin has laid a debt on us that neither the grave nor God can simply forget unless it's dealt with. Our sin and its punishment follows us into eternity unless it's put to death and we are given new life while we're still living on this side of the grave. So where does sin receive its death, funeral, and burial? Listen to Paul's words. All of you who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. In baptism, it's sort of like you placed the old sinful flesh that you have in a casket and you've started nailing it shut. We were therefore buried with Christ through baptism into his death. But in order for our baptism to work, Jesus had to be baptized first, and he had to be baptized into our death. Let me explain. Think of Jesus' baptism as our baptism in reverse. When Jesus was baptized, all of our sins were washed onto him, so that when we're baptized, all of our sins can be washed off of us. Acts 2, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins. At Jesus' baptism, our death was washed onto Jesus, so that in our baptism, his life and resurrection are washed onto us. 1 Peter 3, baptism now saves you. It saves you by the resurrection of Christ. What's going on here is what I like to call the old switcheroo. Jesus is baptized into the role of sinner, loaded down with all of our sins and all of our death, so that we're baptized into being his saints, or children of God, covered with Christ's righteousness. He's baptized into our death, we're baptized into his life. He's baptized into the role of bleeding and dying, we're baptized into the role of rising and living. Isaiah 53 says, the Lord laid on him the iniquities of us all. When did that happen? At his baptism. Like metal filings to a magnet, Jesus had all of our sins dumped on him at his baptism. Then he went to the cross, and by his stripes we are healed. Why? Because he conquered sin and death at the cross. Our sinful flesh has lost. It has been conquered in Christ's death, but only in Christ's death. But in Christ, it no longer owns you or condemns you unless you let it have its way with you. But it's not going down without a fight. Sadly, we'll have to fight our sinful flesh until the day we die. However, it cannot conquer us so long as we're in Christ. When we were baptized into Jesus, Christ connected us to his sin-conquering death. He counted it as if we had died. Radical, you bet it is. Our sinful flesh was put to death, God says, even though the nails went through Jesus. Romans 6, do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death. Although our sinful flesh is already conquered at the cross and in our baptism, it still remains in us. However, now, because it's defeated by Christ and defeated in our lives in baptism, as we're united with Christ, we can mouth off to the sinner that's still in us. We can tell that old Adam off to its face. We can give it a death, funeral, and burial every day, by repenting it and just telling it off. We can say to death and to the old sinful self, you lose and I win because Christ won and you lost. Not only that, but the old man, but I'm also covered with Christ's righteousness. All of you have been baptized into Christ, have been clothed with Christ. It's time for us to mouth off to the old sinful flesh. You no longer own me. You no longer rule me. You no longer hold power over me. For every time you tell me that I've sinned and must be condemned, I'll remind you that all my sins were laid on Christ and he was condemned for them. And I'm united with Christ in his baptism, in my baptism over you. This is how you and I fight the good fight, by holding Christ's cross and resurrection and the significance of those events against our sinful flesh. We have a new attitude as Christians. Galatians 2 tells us that attitude. I have been crucified with Christ, therefore I, that is the sinful sinner, the old flesh, no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Think of it like this. Christ put our sinful nature to death in his death, and in baptism, God does two things. He tells us that we can now view our sinful flesh as a dead thing, even though the nails went through Christ's body, and we can see ourselves as risen to new life with Christ. Luther said, "You cannot reform the old Adam. You can only kill it and be raised to new life in Christ." The key to Christian living, thus, is not trying harder. It's dying and rising. It's putting the sinner in you to death and rising to new life and letting God have his way with you. We die to our sinful flesh in repentance. God, I'm sorry for what I did, and old sinful flesh, you do not own me or control me. You're dead in the death of Jesus. You're dead in my baptism, and I'm killing you again in repentance. I don't want to follow you. We use Christ's cross in our baptism against our sin, sort of like every time we repent, we're putting another nail in the coffin of our old sinful flesh, and we're reminding it. All of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into Christ's death. That means his victorious death. In our baptism, we are forgiven and righteous and risen to die no more because God says so. But baptism should not be treated like a lucky rabbit's foot. Like, well, since I have this dusty certificate in my hope chest, I'm going to heaven. No, if that's how you view it, you're not going to heaven. It only saves because it gives you faith in Jesus. But if you lose that faith, you're not saved. It only saves because it brings us into relationship with Christ our Savior and bestows upon us the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Think of it like this. Baptism is the death certificate of our old sinful flesh, even before it finally dies on the last day. And baptism is the birth certificate of our new man, even before it rises bodily on the last day. Paul puts it like this, count yourselves as dead to sin and alive to God in Christ. You have permission, God's permission, to count yourselves, your just sinful selves, as dead, and to count your new self as alive to God in Christ. Baptism is both law and gospel. It is law to my sinful nature, sort of like the last nail in the coffin. The Christian life that we long for begins by killing the sinner that's in you. And the way to kill it is through repentance and faith in Jesus that remembers Christ has already killed it and will finally bring around its final burial on the last day. Therefore, we can mouth off to the sinner. You are defeated. You don't own me. Christ owned me. I'm God's child. And even when I slip up in sin, to my shame, you still haven't defeated me. Because until you can get Christ to sin, God says I'm righteous in Jesus. Which leads us to the next point. While baptism is law to the sinner, it's gospel to the new child of God that I am. I have called you by name. You are mine. In these waters, I have made you a new creation, forgiven, righteous, risen to die no more. The key to the Christian life we long for is dying and rising, not trying harder. Daily dying to sin and repentance, and daily rising with Christ in his forgiveness. Sinner, you are not who I am, but Christ living in me and giving me his life, this is who I really am. If anyone here is not baptized, we can do something about that. But the danger for those who are baptized is to habitually forget your baptism or to habitually neglect your baptism. And to treat it, like I've said, as some historical event in the rearview mirror. Like a lucky rabbit's foot, or a good luck charm, or a four-leaf clover. If you're going through life misunderstanding or undervaluing your baptism as the of what it really is, the death of your sinful self, and your victory over sin in Christ, that is to invite back into your life the free reign of sin, which will make you a slave to sin again. Don't let that happen. Use your baptism. Love your baptism into Christ. God gave your sinful flesh a very good death and funeral and burial in his death, funeral, and burial. He gave you a spiritual birthday to new life in your baptism. If we have been united with Christ in his death like his, we will also be united with him in a resurrection like his. Are you alive in Christ, knowing that the power of sin is broken? Will you boldly say to your sinful flesh, you are dead and you don't own me, but I am alive in my baptism into Jesus, and I'm not going to follow you anymore? To be so alive in Christ means to not just let sin have its way with you, to not just admit defeat to sin. My new life in Christ means that I don't have to surrender to those sins for which I've always surrendered in the past. I'm baptized into a new and living relationship with Christ. As a result, there are places we will no longer go. There are things we will no longer watch. There are words we will no longer speak and deeds we will no longer do, because the sinful flesh is dead and I don't want to raise it back to life. It doesn't own me any longer. I don't want to give it ownership. Rather, we are alive in Christ's victory and victorious over sin by Jesus' death on the cross and in our baptism. And now, alive in Christ through baptism, you and I are open to new life in ways we never dared to dream. With the sinful flesh dead and buried and no longer the Lord of my life, and through repentance and faith in Jesus, we're no longer under its dominion. We are free to live for Christ and others, to let Christ have his way with us, to get our hands dirty in loving service. Where previously sin reigned in our lives, we were too busy or preoccupied living for sin. But now we live for Christ and our neighbor. And so today Paul reminds us, gives us a new attitude, tells us who we really are. Count yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ. And don't look back. You no longer need to live as if you're still dead in sin. You're not. You no longer need to live as though you're not alive in Christ with new life. You are. So take God at his word that I and you are dead to the sin that's in us. And we're alive to God in Christ. And now live your life, not by one's own strength, but by daily dying to sin's lordship in repentance and daily being raised to new life with Christ by the Holy Spirit, and living under his loving and forgiving lordship. You are alive in Christ to live like you've never lived before, alive to God, alive to your neighbor, alive to your family, alive now, alive for the long haul, alive forever. To live out of your baptism is to live very well and very long.